E and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Welcoming NATO leaders to the first NATO summit in Washington in over 20 years, President Biden making a forceful call to rally around Ukraine in their ongoing push to oust the Russian invasion.
And we know Putin won't stop at Ukraine, but make no mistake, Ukraine can and will stop Putin.
Democratic leaders say they're sticking with President Biden for re-election. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer among the latest. Also, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Leaders say they'll continue conversations with members. A U.S. Navy junior sailor has been punished for trying to bring up President Biden's medical records in a government database on which there were no such records. The primary electric utility for Houston advising about 2 million customers that it'll take several days to restore power knocked out by Hurricane Beryl. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People are urging Wisconsin lawmakers to do something about long-term problems with the state's prison system. Former guards, inmates, and relatives testified to the Assembly's Corrections Committee today. They described sexual harassment and retaliation by supervisors and food and medicine denied to inmates. Milwaukee is getting ready for next week's Republican National Convention. County Executive David Crowley says the Office of Emergency Management and the Sheriff's Department have been especially busy.
Making sure the attendees, protesters, vendors are all safe. But we also have to make sure that we have some traffic management as well, making sure that we can have the traffic flow going through and throughout downtown.
Crowley speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Richland School District Administrator Steve Board reported at last night's Board of Education meeting that due to changes in federal law surrounding Title IX, all districts need to have a new policy in place prior to August 1st. While most of the policy centers around what is covered under Title IX, as well as procedures for handling Title IX violations, Steve Board encourages the Board of Education to review the policy in full. The districts need to have a policy in place for allegations of events that happened prior to August 1st, as well as a policy to handle allegations of events on or after August 1st. Because of this, the board cannot simply revise current policy, but needs two policies. Our forecast for today calls for partly sunny skies with a slight chance of showers late and a high of 82. Tonight, expect some clouds and mild conditions with a low of 63. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Brewers and the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game series at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Colin Ray will get the start for Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell off to a slow start at the plate. The 25-year-old center fielder just 3-for-17 with a batting average of 176. I asked him what's been the biggest hurdle coming back from shoulder surgery last year and then a broken hand this year.
I never felt like throughout the whole process that there was a big hurdle. I would say, obviously, like when you come into spring training, right, you got to kind of get all of the soreness and like baseball stuff, you know, get back into shape again. So I think the biggest part was probably just kind of getting through the soreness. But after like the first week of being back, it was pretty normal again.
Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo packing his bags for the Olympics in Paris. Later this month, he led Team Greece to qualify for the games with a win over Croatia. They'll compete with 12 other teams for a gold medal, including France, Australia, and the U.S. Giannis is 29 years old. This will be his first time at the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the low 60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy. Stray storm or two in the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week. Sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s.
Currently 81 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I go deep on the newly announced RNC platform. It is all garbage.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Tuesday night. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jess in the house. And yeah, we have a guest. We're going to get him on there. Johnny, though, looking back at last night's show, I just wanted to go, did Matt Damon's mom, Nancy Carlson Page, landed truly a drop, a mic drop moment? And in fact, yeah, couldn't have dropped that mic a moment too soon. She cut it right out at the very end. I'm putting out check it back, you know, go back, see the show. And then Dr. Mike Moore, you know, the whole idea of course materials, who knew that that was an equity issue? That's just the way, you know, we found it. So check out that episode. Love it. Hope everybody had a good show like that. Here we go, Johnny Lupinacci, though. You know, the Democrats are still talking about what they're going to do with President Biden. Who knows if the breaking, if I just gonna say, if there's ever breaking news on this, we will definitely say something about that. And maybe it would be nice if they had a, you know, breaking news down at the Minocqua Brewing Company, Johnny, because wouldn't that be a great place to break?
Well,
the story?
I'll tell you, Tim, if there's going to be a story breaking that big, it's going to break everywhere. But you know what? You might as well be at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who are big-time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. The most sued brewery in America because, man, they're sticking up for democracy, defending public schools. The Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Head on down to Minocqua Brewing Company or check them out at minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Tim, and we're going to sit back and see what unfolds as this week unfolds. Listener, you know, get the Civic Media app. Listen to Civic Media programming all day long for coverage, and especially going into next week, live coverage of, you know, a little convention that's happening nearby to a lot of our listeners. Mm-hmm. But all the breaking news and politics, you know, tune into Civic Media for great coverage of all that. Tim, aside from that, you know, it's hot in America. Both literally and figuratively. Right now it's summertime, but there's so much going on, you know? And so I'm looking forward to our conversation with our guests tonight. But Tim, you know what, man? It's also good to just catch up with you.
It is a bit, you know, I want to say, you know, back to the, you know, tonight. Yeah. Great guest. Rethinking Schools. We had Dr. Sierra Collard-Jones on to introduce that partnership. Yeah, bringing back the partnership, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools, founded right there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, been putting out truly materials that, you know, you said every one of us who've been a teacher and experienced Rethinking Schools materials have always went like, wow,
Grade A.
Thank goodness they're there. And I said, my biggest intro again is, you know, rethinking Christopher Columbus. The reframing just changed my world and changed my fifth graders' worlds at that time. It was just an amazing time. So we had Dr. Jones on, Kyler Jones on, and man, she has brought forward, though, too, a whole list and a whole group of people. It's going to be every second Tuesday.
Yeah, monthly spot, Tim, with Rethinking Schools. Our pals at Rethinking Schools are, our educators in arms, part of a movement, you know, to teach. And tying it to last night's show, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, friend of and big fan and educator in arms with Howard Zinn. She brought up Howard Zinn and talked about the importance that we all have open minds and critical thinking skills, and that we learn about history, not just one single story, but the diverse historical facts of what's occurred, you know, in our histories, right? And so we talked about indigenous people's histories. You brought up Rethinking Columbus tonight, you know, so just linking it together to all that. But Rethinking Schools on a monthly spot, we got one of our guys here, Jesse Hagopian, one of the authors in the most recent special issue, right? Themed for Gaza here. We're talking with Jesse Hagopian. Jesse, how you doing tonight, my man?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you all so much for having me back on the show.
Jesse, it is so good to see you. Yeah, I say, you know, had you on the show multiple times, you know, when it was just a podcast, definitely had you on. You know, we've enjoyed all the conversations we've had with you. And again, the rekindling the partnership with Rethinking Schools, all the incredible work that you guys are doing there. And here you are, the first guest of Rethinking Schools to kind of come in, chop it up with Johnny and Tim, laying it out there. And so, you know, special issue, the Gaza issue. And, you know, Jesse, tell us a little bit about, you know, the preparation that went into preparing and getting ready for this special issue, because it's packed. And, you know, we know people are sitting there like, how did they even come together? What was the impetus? What pulled all of the authors? Give us a little sense of what it takes to put together a special issue of Rethinking Schools.
Sure. I mean, and we have an incredible team. It's small but mighty that puts together this magazine on a quarterly basis. And Rethinking Schools has really become the voice of social justice educators, you know, all around the country, who are writing for the magazine, who are reading the magazine, who are using the lessons in their classroom. And we don't pull together a special issue about this horrific attacks on Gaza without years and years of dedication to the struggle for Palestine. It took years of developing a political analysis to understand what's happening there. It took years of writing lessons for the classroom and adapting them and developing them, to feel confident in this moment of crisis to have something to say about it. So I think that's important. You know, myself, I went on the first African Heritage delegation of Interfaith Peace Builders Group to Palestine and spent time with host families in the West Bank. We met with Israelis and Palestinians to hear different perspectives on the conflict. And I traveled with a group of veterans of the civil rights movement. And one of those was a teacher, a Black woman named Gloria, who was one of the first teachers to integrate a school in her home county in Mississippi. And hearing her share stories about going to her school the first day it was supposed to be integrated and seeing it surrounded by the Ku Klux Klan and the Klan not allowing her to come in and teach, hearing her share that story with Palestinian activists in the West Bank who had studied the civil rights movement and were moving to implement those lessons was so powerful.
Yeah, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, yeah, I love it. Love the work, love the issue, Jesse. And you modeled this kind of, like you brought up social justice teaching. For our listener who's saying like, hey, I like the sound of that. You know, like, here are three guys who are really committed to that, who really love that. It rings true. But for our listener, can you give them a good definition of social justice education, like teaching for social justice. Give them the 101 on that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the first thing that's required for social justice education is allowing kids to think critically. So we have to provide a space where students are allowed to debate the issues in society. And what we're seeing in America right now is the opposite. We're seeing the fact that almost half of all students in the public schools today are going to a school where there's a law that says the teacher has to lie to them about structural racism or sexism or homophobia, and that they can't discuss those issues, right? And what we want to say is we have to discuss those issues. We can't build a society based on justice without young people learning all kinds of things about our society, the oppression that has existed from the beginning, and the incredible struggles for justice. And, you know, social justice teaching allows kids to have the discussions and the debate that the powerful and the wealthy wish they would never have. There's more to it, but I think the core of it is allowing kids to discuss the issues. So for example, like when I teach about the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, I will have all of my students be different members of SNCC. And SNCC had a lot of debate. They didn't all agree on how to build the civil rights movement. So we have some of them that are arguing that we should allow white people to be in our organization and we should join arms. And some of them are saying, no, this should be an all-black organization. And some of them say we should work with Martin Luther King. He's a great leader. And the other ones are saying he flies into town, gives a speech, and then leaves. We need to build a different kind of organization. And the kids get to learn the real debates that existed throughout history, right? And they get to debate those things themselves. And then they get to decide for themselves what they think should have happened and compare that to what actually happened. And that's a method for social justice teaching that allows kids to learn the real debates that happened.
But Jesse, you put that forward like that too. It's so kind of strong. And in one way, I could say, so you're letting students critically think for themselves, giving them space, really creating and protecting that space and saying, you know what? And there are going to be different perspectives here, but we're going to learn from history. We're going to model from history. We're going to let you engage those things. And it is, it's frightening in 2024 to know, as you pointed out, that type of teaching is potentially illegal in a lot of states in this country right now. Truly illegal to teach kids to grapple with facts. We know our facts. We know these are facts. They're absolutely facts. But yet the whole idea, so man, what a great positioning on teaching social justice. A lot, though, too, coming into this, the issue here talking about, too, and your part of the article that you wrote, I know we're going to want to get really big into that as we come back from our first break. Our guest is Jesse Hagopian, one of the leaders at Rethinking Schools. Yeah, it's Rethinking Schools Tuesday. Once a month now, every month, we're going to have Rethinking Schools. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Man, make sure you get in here. Give us a call. You guys, you know the number. Put it on the app. Make sure you drop us a text. All that. 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils, Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools when we get back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educators talking education, not just any education tonight, we're talking social justice education, right? Always teaching, always learning, learners leading learners. Got a guy with us tonight, Jesse Hagopian, big guest representing Rethinking Schools. We talked about it, one of the OG resources for a lot of us social justice educators, going strong and lucky to have them putting that resource out quarterly, right, for teachers to be learning as they're leading their learners, which is really important, especially on a lot of these issues. It was the number one thing all school year. I work with a lot of teachers. Tim and I talk to teachers. We got teachers out there that are listeners. And one of the things is, like, we always talk about, like, how do you teach global conflicts? How do you teach at, you know, age-appropriate level? You know, things that are scary for kids, things that are happening in the world, because all of us social justice educators know, like Jesse shared, you teach multiple perspectives. You take on the sometimes controversial, difficult stuff because children are witnessing our reactions and how we handle things that are complicated, things that are dangerous, things that aren't our best representation of human rights and our capacity to care for one another. Right. And we learn from struggles like the civil rights movement. We learn from unity and solidarity around the world. So, Jesse, dive into it. Jesse's article in the Rethinking Schools most recent issue, Israel's War on Gaza is also a war on history, education, and children. Jesse, tell our listeners a little bit about this article. And we were talking before the show a little bit about how you're connecting some important dots, building some solidarity. Right. And some of the conversations you got to have with inspiring people today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, in the article I write, I want educators to think about what it would be like to be a teacher in Palestine, to be a teacher in Gaza. None of us got to choose where we were born. The fact that I happen to be here instead of in Gaza, my life is dramatically different. And in Gaza, every single university has been bombed, right? Hundreds of schools have been bombed using bombs made by Boeing that is in my hometown of Seattle, right? Our taxpayer money is going to fund the occupation of Palestine, and U.S. corporations are profiting off of blowing up schools there. And I want educators to think about what it would be like to be teaching in Gaza, where you have a genocidal war being waged. Another word that's important to understand, scholasticide. The destruction, the, you know, direct targeting and destruction of schools that's going on there. And, you know, many educators believe that students should be able to discuss the most important topics that adults are talking about in society. And so many social justice educators are organizing lessons to have students discuss what they think of schools being bombed, in Gaza. And for doing that, there can be harsh repercussions, right? I have a friend who was teaching about Palestine, and they brought a mobile billboard to his school with his face on it and a website taken out under his legal name to smear him as anti-Semitic because he was against bombing schools. And he thought students should be able to talk about that. And, you know, in fact, the social justice movement that calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza believes that every life is precious and that we have to fight all forms of oppression, whether that's racism, Islamophobia, or anti-Semitism. All of those forms of oppression have to be fought, but we can't fight oppression and support genocide at the same time. And so we believe young people are intellectuals and are able to confront difficult ideas and come up with their own opinions. They might not agree with what my opinion is, but they have a right to hear from people in our society who think that it's wrong to bomb schools. And they have a right to consider whether that's right or not. And they have a right to speak out about it and learn about the history that led up to this moment so that we don't pretend that the current war came out of nowhere, that this is the first conflict of its kind, so that they can understand the history that led up to where we are now.
So much history involved too, Jesse, as you were talking about that. And, you know, just think about this. And again, putting it back to into that reality of a classroom, you know, a classroom of eighth graders sitting out there, you know, and maybe in Madison, Wisconsin, or in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and thinking about who's sitting out in front of me and, you know, 25 seventh, eighth graders, they're going to have 25 multiple perspectives. And so bringing this concept up, you know, I'm even thinking about that. I mean, how do you wrestle with the multiple perspectives when students might vehemently disagree?
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be difficult when there are very strong opinions, and that difficulty just shows that it's so important to do. And so when we're looking at the history of the United States, we can either teach this history as it was a beacon of freedom from the beginning that built the freest society on earth, or we can teach that some believed that and some people said that, and then there was also a genocide against Native Americans and their land was taken. And we could teach that slavery occurred and my ancestors were put into bondage. And I can either decide to hide that history from my students, or I can allow them to grapple with those very difficult questions and some hard history, right? The same is true with Israel and Palestine. We can just teach that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, and that there's no right for Palestinians to their land that some people would suggest, or we can teach that in 1948, Israel imposed itself as a country by dispossessing native people in Palestine from their land, and that actually the Nakba occurred, and we can have them grapple with what happened in 1948, how Israel was established, who lost their land. And they can hear perspectives on both sides and then consider what they believe.
And Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools, truly busting pencils with us tonight. Jesse, man, thank you so much for your time tonight. When we get back, Tim and Johnny breaking it down. Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools. Go out there, download a copy of that. Sign up Rethinking Schools. Give them some love. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The family of a Milwaukee man who died at the hands of private security guards is demanding accountability. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner has ruled Deontay Mitchell's death on June 30th a homicide. Criminal charges, though, have not been filed. The family's lawyer wants Milwaukee police to release body cam video. Pro-democracy advocates say they're pleased with Friday's Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling making ballot drop boxes legal again. Nick Ramos is with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
The electorate can access our democracy when it isn't necessarily so convenient for our healthcare workers, the rural community, single parents.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty says the court's liberal majority made a political decision. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Governor Tony Evers, together with Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, submitted a request to the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee requesting the release of $7.5 million to BioForward Incorporated to establish the state's U.S. regional tech hub. Wisconsin has officially been selected as a U.S. regional tech hub by the U.S. Economic Development Administration. This designation unlocks $49 million in federal funding that will advance research and innovation in Wisconsin, grow the state's economy, and boost American competitiveness in a cutting-edge industry. Over the first 10 years, the Tech Hub designation is projected to create more than 30,000 jobs in the personalized medicine sector and over 111,000 indirect jobs attributable to the Tech Hub in Wisconsin. Additionally, the Tech Hub is projected to create $9 billion worth of economic development in Wisconsin within the first decade. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Norman Reedus is working hard to keep his character's Walking Dead spinoff fresh. Reedus has played Daryl Dixon for the franchise for the past 15 years now, 10-plus seasons on The Walking Dead, and now 2 seasons on the latest installment, The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. In the first season, Dixon washes up on the shores of France, which is where the apocalypse and virus started. I'm just guessing that the spinoff explores how French zombies look down on their American zombie counterparts. In not at all anticipated in any way, shape, or form sequel news, there is a sequel in the works for John Tucker Must Die, which was released in the early 2000s. Talk about making people wait for closure they've long since forgotten about. Actress Brittany Snow and Penn Badgley appear to be left out of the new film. Sometimes things just work out. The original movie got panned with a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, but with the new film, the filmmakers are hoping to achieve mediocrity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the low 60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy. Stray storm or two in the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week. Sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s. Currently 81 degrees.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle riders, to the captains of boats. From your first job to the retiring couple ready to enjoy their golden years, important milestones, and life's unexpected events, we choose to care for the people with the need, not just the risks and needs. Our goal is to take the confusion out of finding the right coverage. Stop by our office in Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Walsh's Ace Hardware is your grilling destination. Walsh's Ace has a grill for just about any...
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us tomorrow from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls for the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour 2. Trigby Olson, Pat Freitlow, and myself, be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Oh, come on. We love fields. Why are they weeds? They're not weeds. They're life. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.